The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Harlandale Independent School District has come a long way from its beginnings as a one-room, one-teacher rural school. It also has its roots that go even further back to the missions of San Antonio. Today, the Harlandale Independent School District serves about 15,000 students with two traditional high schools, four middle schools, 13 elementary schools, and two alternative campuses. But now, Harlandale is facing some challenges with the Texas Education Agency. In June, the Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath accepted the recommendation from a special accreditation investigation that was highly critical of how the outgoing superintendent, as well as the current and former board members, were conducting business at Harlandale. Morath said that he planned to appoint a manager to replace Harlandale's elected trustees, and Morath announced that he would lower the district's accreditation and appoint a conservator to oversee that district. Now, citizens have spoken out at a recent public hearing. This is Rose Garcia.
You know what's right and wrong. You know what you're supposed to be doing and not doing. Pay attention. And if you can't pay attention or follow the rules, drop out. Let somebody who gives a damn take your place.
And there are supporters of the current board. This is Susan Salinas, a regional organizer for the Texas State Teachers Association.
Harlandale is a great district, and we can make the changes we need to. It's very interesting that TEA is only taking over economically challenged districts and minority districts. Wonder why.
Lots of ways for you to join our conversation as we talk about the future of Harlandale, what's happening there now, how we got here. Call us, numbers 210-614-8980. We'll also be talking about some of the other local school districts that are under the scrutiny by the TEA. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined by Camille Phillips, the education reporter for Texas Public Radio. Camille, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Dave.
And we're joined by Krista Torralva, education reporter for the San Antonio Express News.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Krista, can you tell me, like, right now with Harlandale ISD, how did we get here?
Okay, so back in 2017, the Texas Education Agency launched its special accreditation investigation. That was in late 2017. And then late last year, the investigators issued their preliminary findings, which had to do, they alleged violations of the Open Meetings Act, governance issues. And then Harlandale had an opportunity to defend itself against those preliminary findings. They did. The investigators came back and said they still affirmed their findings. And then, as you mentioned, in June, the commissioner accepted those findings. So where we are now is yesterday, Harlandale trustees went to Austin to defend themselves in person in front of Mike Morath. And now we're just waiting for Morath's absolute final decision.
That decision, especially regarding accreditation, can you talk about that, Camille Phillips? Why is that so important?
Well, accreditation status is basically a sign to the public that things are off the right path, according to the state. The accreditation warning status is like the first step to that. That point. Eventually, if things don't change under state law, the Texas Education Agency could revoke a district's accreditation, and that means that they would no longer be eligible for state funds, and that most likely they would be dissolved and annexed into a neighboring district. Now, in and of itself, an accreditation warning status has no negative effect on students. One of the warnings, one of the concerns at the public hearing was that students' chances of getting into college could be affected because of that status. I've checked with TEA, they do not have any, it does not hurt their chances into college.
Right, but this is the nuclear option for
right.
The TEA. To take away the accreditation of a school district is basically to make it no longer a school district. And then what happens after that point? So Krista, can you talk about why that's important?
Sure. So there's concern again amongst the Harlandale community members that the Texas Education Agency is trying to force a consolidation. Here in Bexar County, we have something like 18 school districts, and public officials have questioned whether or not that's too many. Representative Diego Bernal has been really public about that. And so a lot of people think that the TEA is trying to force the smaller minority districts on the city's south side to consolidate. So there's fears among Harlandale residents that this is a step toward that ultimate goal. TEA has, I think, disputed that more or less, but that's the concern in Harlandale.
This isn't the first time that the TEA has forced consolidations. North Forest ISD in the Houston area, they shut that school district down and forced it to consolidate with Houston ISD. And they've also used this as a way to force school districts and communities to respond to sagging financial issues. It's just usually a financial concern that it's not so much the grade. So what is the grade situation, the academic curriculum, evaluation for Harlandale ISD, Camille?
Well, we'll know the latest next week when the state issues their findings for 2019. But as of last year, according to the state, Harlandale had a C rating under academic accountability. I can tell you the other districts that are under oversight as well and their statuses if you want, but we can wait on that if you'd rather.
And do you want to add to that, Krista? About the academics?
Well, Harlandale's defense has been that their academics are improving. They're projecting, Camille was talking about that accountability rating, and Accountability Day is a really big day for educators and for education reporters. So next Thursday, we'll have the TEA's accountability ratings for each school in their districts. But Harlandale's projecting to receive a B, which is an improvement. So they think that, hey, we've been taking care of our academics. We're graduating our kids. We don't need to lower the accreditation.
If a school district loses its accreditation and is forced to consolidate, it has to consolidate with another school district that they share a border with. Mm-hmm. So, Camille Phillips, what are the options then?
For Harlandale, it would be San Antonio ISD to the north. There's South San to the west, and is it East Central or South Side? South Side is to the south, but it's complicated. But also, a number of those districts have been under state oversight as well recently. So for Harlandale especially, that kind of leaves the question of what district it would be. I guess San Antonio ISD, but I don't really know.
Yeah, so I wonder, if people who are in SAISD and say, hey, I'm in SAISD, I don't have to worry about this. Or if you're in East Central or other school districts saying, well, too bad for Harlandale, it's not my problem. Well, if they do take away the accreditation, and then the TEA comes to a school district and they basically tell you, you got to do, what you have to do, and then they have to bring it together. I mean, there's some coordination involved here, but still, you're being forced to volunteer. So what would it look like for SAISD or another school district? There is a historic, in San Antonio, there was the Los Angeles Independent School District that was combined with SAISD in the 40s. We saw Kirby and Converse and other areas come together to form the Judson ISD. Consolidation is not that unusual for here if you look at the Longview historically. So, but still, Krista, when people talk about consolidating this part of the county or the school districts, they act like this is a terrible option. What's the opposition?
Well, really quickly, going back, we were looking at the map of the Bexar County School Districts, and it's interesting that Harlandale is also bordered by South San ISD, which the TEA is intervening and investigating in right now. They're also bordered by South Side ISD, which is under Board of Managers, right? And not exactly bordered, but very close to the border of Edgewood ISD, which is also under a Board of Managers right now. And those are the districts that people are concerned TEA is going to try to force together to consolidate. The opposition to that, TEA has said, they only intervene when there's serious issues. The other opposition is that you know, we've been talking about lowering the accreditation, but to get to the point that they would dissolve a district or consolidate, we're, like Camille said earlier, we're only at the first step, and I think there's two or three more until we get to that point. The other thing that we haven't talked about yet, though, is that TEA wants to put this board of managers in place, which would remove the elected board, and Mike Marath himself would appoint the managers. And some of them come from within the Harlandale community, but not all of them have to. And so that's where a lot of people, that's another area of contention, because people don't want to lose their local voice. But the opposition is, hey, this board has been in place and all these findings, you know, the TEA investigated and they found all these things. Move aside, let's hit restart, and let's do that with the board of managers.
And where else are they doing a board of managers, Camille?
Southside and Edgewood are both currently under a board of managers, but they are in the process of transitioning back to local control. The state has said, you're on the right path now. We can slowly transition you back to local control. So for Edgewood and Southside, I don't see a direct path towards an annexation or anything at this point. I think the state has removed themselves somewhat from that.
So we heard that comment earlier from Susan Salinas with the Texas State Teachers Association saying that the TEA, when they do this across the Texas, that they are, quote, only taking on economically challenged districts and minority districts. Is that something that, you know, does that have gained traction? Does that make sense? Krista?
So a lot of us in the education world look at Progreso ISD because lawyer Kevin O'Hanlon, who's also representing South San and Harlandale, he's been on the Progreso ISD case for many years.
And is that on the border?
That's on the border, yeah. TEA, help me out, Camille, I'm sorry, there. They fought TEA all the way to the end, and the Texas Supreme Court ruled that TEA could, in fact, come in and place a board of managers. A lot of us look to that case to see where we might be headed. Sure, here in San Antonio, the ones that TEA has taken over are economically challenged. They are minority, Edgewood, Southside, South San, Harlandale. But I think that we should point out that just yesterday, Houston ISD received the preliminary findings from TEA on their special accreditation investigation. The TEA is also moving to put a board of managers in Houston.
In Houston. Houston's the largest ISD in the state of Texas.
Exactly.
The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What about local control? That's what ISDs are supposed to be all about. Is this a way to subvert that? The source will be back right after this.
Remember the Alamo. But how do we remember it? As the 1836 battle site, as a historic mission, as a cemetery.
This really is a project unlike really any other that you're talking about, a battle site and the mission site that has been around for generations.
The latest on the renovations at the Alamo, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas Education Agency is looking at Harlandale ISD, and there could be some major changes at Harlandale with the TEA. There was a recent public hearing, very heated, where we had people speaking out for and against what's going on in Harlandale. Some speakers told the board not to waste the district's money fighting the state's proposed sanctions, but the board president, Ricardo Moreno, said he felt it was worth the legal fees to go through the TEA's appeal process.
To say that we couldn't find a way to protect the interests of our voters and given, you know, the opportunity to assist our community, and to say we're just going to lay down and allow my community, where I grew up, where I went to school, where I came back and decided to live, the opportunity just to go to the wayside, it's not something that I'm willing to take.
Moreno thinks the district record of student achievement should be considered. So one issue has been with the superintendent. He was suspended, and then he was fired, and now he resigned. So can you walk us through what's happening with the now outgoing superintendent at Harlandale ISD, Camille Phillips?
Okay. Earlier this week, the board officially voted to accept Ray Madrigal's resignation. Madrigal was named in the investigative report from TEA as one of the alleged bad actors. factors of mismanaging contract procurement and that sort of thing. There were also allegations of nepotism against him, but TA couldn't support those allegations, couldn't find evidence of that. Harlandale, after the TEA said they wanted to replace the superintendent, Harlandale came in and said, okay, we're going to terminate him. It seems like as a way to show the state that they're on the right path, they're listening, look, we are making changes, you don't need to take over. Eventually, it seems like, right, Krista, to save money, they decided to accept his resignation as opposed to fighting a termination.
Yeah, lawyers said that it would probably end up being cheaper to just accept his resignation. They're paying for his accrued vacation time and sick leave time, which I think they said amounted to 60 days, but to fight it tooth and nail would have cost more.
And Madrigal has been at Harlandale. He was an employee for 31 years. He has served as superintendent for 6 years. So he is someone who's basically been on site for a very, very long time.
Well, he also grew up in that district. He went through all of the schools, and then he started as, I believe, a football coach. And so a lot of folks, even the ones who are for this takeover, even the ones who have complained to TEA, have said, he was our guy. He was one of us. He's homegrown. Like, we were excited when he became superintendent. And so they're really sad.
Yeah. Okay. But then again, mm-hmm. he was a football coach and he became superintendent. A superintendent is the guy who's going to run this multi-million dollar enterprise on the day-to-day level and also come up with very important strategies to deal with building contracts, also dealing with issues in the classroom. Being a superintendent is a highly skilled, sought-after type of a skill. Was he really the right guy for the job?
Well, he started as a football coach, but he had ended up becoming, a vice principal and a principal before he became superintendent. I think that if you just focus on what the Special Accreditation Investigation Report found, they found that he might have violated state law when he entered into agreements with an engineering company without board approval. What was going to make for a really interesting legal battle was the termination, because the district said that they used the TEA's argument in their reasons for firing him. But a few months before, when they had appealed a TEA's findings, they defended Madrigal and said that he did have their approval to do it. So that would have been a very interesting fight, but now it's moot.
Is it, some people are saying that schools like Harlandale, South San, Progresso, mm-hmm. that and Pearsall, mm-hmm. they are just drawing the attention, the scrutiny of the TEA because they want to take over these school districts. And mm-hmm. if they went into any school district, they're going to find superintendents that sometimes didn't follow the law to the letter that they had seen in the past. So these other school districts that I mentioned, Camille Phillips, we have here in San Antonio, also to the south of San Antonio, like in Pearsall. It just seemed like the boards are very, those board meetings can get very exciting.
Yes, there can be high emotions. South San, I was at the board meeting last night at South San, and the board president, Connie Prado, was asking very pointed questions of the superintendent, Dr. Flores, and saying, like, who's responsible for this? And then the superintendent was saying, why do you want to know who's responsible for this? There's been some allegations that...
Connie Prado and superintendent and board meeting excitement, those are words that have gone together a lot over the last many years.
Yes. South San was under the oversight of a state-appointed conservator until last year. And a conservator has the authority to override elected board decisions and superintendent decisions. But early last year, TEA said, okay, South San, you are ready to be on your own again. And then there was an election, and the board majority changed. Since then, TEA has again opened up a new accreditation investigation that was as of April. So there's some allegations that the board is up to some of their old concerning activity with micromanaging and that sort of thing.
And that's what the TEA is telling them is improper when you talk about issues of someone who's a bad actor.
Right. According to the state-appointed monitor, they are not communicating effectively with the superintendent, and they are kind of taking over the superintendent's job by not listening to his some of his recommendations. I will say that South San, the board majority, believes that the monitor shouldn't be there because they are still undergoing the investigation, and it's not decided yet.
There's also been the allegation that these boards have, they don't really pay a lot of attention to transparency. And one of the complaints from the TEA is that they have been violating the Open Meetings Act. So, Krista, can you elaborate on that? Have you been following
that? So, the TEA's report found that they were conducting meetings via text message, you know, that they had a quorum and a group text message.
At Harlandale.
In Harlandale, right, exactly. That, you know, they were discussing issues via text message. Now, some of the text messages that the investigators used, they published in some of their reports. We don't know if that's all that they have or if they have more, but what they published showed...
Have you filed your open records request?
Oh, I'm filing open records requests like every day. my Excel spreadsheet's very long. But yeah, I want some of the text messages just show things like... you know, I heard that there's this book that's being taught in classes that is kind of controversial. And
controversial in what way? What do you think? Is it?
Was it a? I can't remember. I don't want to say.
I don't know.
The point is that they were quote unquote like minor issues, and that they weren't taking votes during in these text messages, and that in some cases a trustee even said, I think that we should wait and talk about this at the board meeting. And so they were the trustees have said in their defenses, we weren't conducting board business in these text messages. In one of the text messages, it was like, happy holidays to my colleagues.
I will say, though, that more recently, there have been several board meetings where they've gone into closed session and then come out and vote on issues that are as discussed in executive session or closed session without clarifying what they discussed.
So that wasn't a point of the special accreditation investigation report. However, that has been an issue for a lot of residents in the community, and honestly an issue that a lot of reporters have taken issue with, because we'll ask for clarification, we'll ask for them to expand on what that is. Because if you come out of closed session and you say, I vote to proceed as discussed in closed session, you're not telling the public what you're voting to do.
Right. So there are some issues where you do go into executive session behind closed doors to talk about lawsuits or personnel issues. And if you're going to have a vote, you have to come out and take the vote in public. Mm-hmm. And they weren't doing that?
They took the vote in public, but the vote was, the motion would be, I motion that we vote to proceed as discussed in closed session. And that's verbatim what they say.
And that's not proper.
Not according to TA spokespeople that I've talked to.
Right, or according to the Open Meetings Act. So so that is enough for the TEA to come in and say, we need to put in a board of supervisors and sort of take away the reins from the current board of trustees. But the thing about conducting business through text messages, that's just kind of weird, you know? I mean, yeah, that is so far from even having an open meeting. That's why we have why we have ISDs, is to have local control, and so that neighborhoods can see how their schools are being run.
Mm-hmm. Tangentially, I wanted to say that to the concern that TA is arbitrarily looking into districts, all of the districts here that are under investigation started with complaints that mm-hmm. were filed from mostly local residents or employees to the TA saying, we're concerned, please look into this. So it wasn't out of nothing.
So we did have this board meeting or public hearing. Sounds like there was a lot of participation in there. So what's overall, what feeling do you have, Krista, with the people, with the parents and the community? What do they want?
Harlandale is a really proud community. They want their local voice. There were two votes to hire principals from out of the district, and there had to be two because the first time it failed, because people in the community want their local folks to be grown up in the community. So
that's why they're the Indians. They trace their roots all the way to being the Mission Indians, Los Indios.
Yeah.
That's all, it's very deep rooted, a lot of pride.
Yeah, a lot of pride. Yeah.
All right. I want to thank Krista Turalva. She is the education reporter for the Santa Ana Express News. Camille Phillips, education reporter for Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Rospiedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.